Hello, everyone. This is Josh Oakes with the SmartSocial.com podcast. In this episode, I'm excited to be interviewing a teacher, somebody that teaches digital media to sixth graders, somebody that also teaches computer programming to eighth grade. I've known him for a few years. He is incredible and has brought me out to his school. Today, we have live on the video, on the audio, no matter where you're listening to us around the world, we have David Kaufman. He teaches at Claggett Middle School in Medina, Ohio, and I'm honored to get the opportunity not only to interview him today, but he brought me out to his school years ago and fundraised to make sure that we protect his whole community. He worked extremely hard, and I'm honored to not only know that he's in it to protect children, but also a wonderful example for all the students at his school. David, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. So glad to be here.
Well, David, I'm a huge fan of yours, and I've known you for a few years. I spoke in 2015 in Ohio, in your city, at several schools, and we had an amazing big parent presentation. You guys rolled out the red carpet for me, and I could not have been more thankful to present back then all the good and bad apps and tactical tips, and boy, has it changed. And you know, there's been some bad things that have happened in the industry towards digital addiction, and there's been some good things. And, you know, you and I have kind of been checking in with each other each year. I'm thankful for all that you do. Now, you've come today with some really cool stuff. You put together a list of, I think, about 15 tips that are amazing for not only students, but parents to talk with their students about. And I'm thankful. So everybody listening to this today, David is going to share with us a bunch of tips on how you can keep your kids safe. Now, you might have kids that are in middle school. You might have kids in high school. You might have kids in elementary school. It is never too early or too late to get started. One of the things David is really going to hit on today is social media distractions throughout the day. He's going to teach you a few tactical tips from him being around hundreds, if not thousands, of students, and also him being in the classroom, seeing how do we teach kids? How do we get kids to be extremely effective in everything that we need them to do, which is homework, which is chores, which is being good, sociable people, so that they grow up to be well-rounded individuals, they move out of your basement, they move on to have great careers. And that's what David's here today is to give you parents listening to this and educators listening to this all over the world tactical tips you can use to make sure your kids are managing these digital devices like sugar in a meaningful way, so they're not getting too much of it, so they're not avoiding it at all costs, but rather they're able to manage it eventually on their own at a young age. All right, David, I'm pumped. Walk us through tip number one. What should we do to protect kids?
Okay, one of the top things is having the devices stay on the first floor. Now, if you live in a ranch, it'd be a little bit different, but keeping the devices out of the basements and bedrooms are ideal for preventing anything that could happen to go not actually happen then.
And essentially, you're saying keeping them public around where parents are at.
Correct. So they're visible. The parents know what they're doing, and it kind of gives the kids a sense of staying within the boundaries because they know they're being watched.
Awesome. Okay. So keeping devices out of the bedroom and in a public or visible place where parents can kind of see the student. Awesome. Okay. That's a great tip. Next, talk to us about your second tip.
The second tip is having the devices turned in at a particular time. Maybe it's 8 o'clock, maybe it's 7 o'clock. This also allows that kids aren't on their devices all evening throughout the night. And this also allows that the family has interaction, whether, okay, we're going to turn them off at 7 o'clock, turn them in, and you can get them back in the morning. But at 7 o'clock, we're going to have family time. We're going to sit around the TV and talk. We're going to go outside on our patio and and just talk about our day and have face-to-face interactions.
I love that. So devices turned in at a particular time each night or each evening or afternoon or something like that, consistent, so that then all of a sudden the students know that that's going to happen. Correct. And that's probably great also because the students' friends then know, hey, I can't talk to Johnny after 7th or after 9, 8 p.m. because his parents consistently take away his phone. It's not less FOMO because your friends are already alerted. This is going to happen. I got to go by. Would you agree?
Right. Yes, for sure. They know the rules as well, and the kind of, and maybe that would have a domino effect that maybe they're not going to be on their device as much if their friends are already turning in their phones or their devices.
I love that. Okay, so that's tip two, devices turned in a particular time each night. I love that. Okay, talk to us about the next tip.
Okay, this next tip I actually stole from a student in my classroom that I thought was just an excellent thing they do in their household, and that's putting all their passwords for each kid in an envelope. Each one has a separate envelope and it's sealed, and it's all their passwords for all their social media accounts. And this is to protect the kids that if they aren't accounted for or something is unusual, that they can actually have access into the social media accounts to look back at the history and the interactions with everyone they've had in the last whatever amount of time, instead of having to go to the police or going to the social media and asking for access to that social media site.
This is the best tip I've heard, David, in a long time. Basically telling your kids ahead of time, let me see if I misunderstand this. Hey kids, we're gonna give you this $800 device, this iPhone, this Android, whatever this is, whatever it costs. We're gonna pay your prorated share of the monthly bill. And in return, if you wanna be on XYZ app, not only do you need to have permission from us, but second, we want to know your password. We're not going to log in as you, but put it in this sealed envelope because heaven forbid if something happens, we want to be able to log in immediately. And one of the privileges you get for being on this is that you need to provide for us in the sealed envelope your password so that we can easily log in at any time if something goes wrong and we don't have to contact the school or police. Is that correct?
That's correct. And I think what also it does is if you keep that promise, hey, it's going to be sealed, we're not going to be looking into it, it's going to be an envelope, it's in our, you know, our drawer in our kitchen. I think that develops a trust and a bond with the parent and the teenager, that there is some trust and respect of boundaries in that as well.
That's actually a great tip for parents too. I have this password manager. I should probably, this could work for adults too, to be honest. Is like, heaven forbid something happened, here's how to get into some of my things. I love that tip. So yeah. Passwords to all social media accounts in a sealed envelope. I love that. All right. Now the next tip, what should we do around the dinner table?
There shouldn't be any phones, any devices, iPads. Sitting around the dinner table, it should be a time that you talk about your day. You should talk about maybe you have problems at school, problems at work, maybe a conflict with your friend, or maybe you're just celebrating, hey, I got an A on my math test, or you're talking about the great accomplishments you did have that day. It's a great time to talk and have that interaction, face-to-face interaction that nowadays it seems like it's become less and less of face-to-face interaction, more people looking at screens instead.
I love that. There is somebody that was on our podcast or blog a long time ago said he had this phrase. He said, tell me your high, low glitter around the dinner table. What's a high that you had today, kids? What was a low, something that frustrated you? And then what was the glitter? The thing that was unexpected, that happened, that's hilarious or whatever. And they go around the dinner table. Everybody shares those three options, which I think is interesting. Probably frustrating as all heck to a student that wants to be on Snapchat until a few nights where you have to do that. Right. And then all of a sudden it starts getting that kid to be more social. Remember, everybody that's listening to this right now, Let's pause for just one sec. David, I adore you. And these tips so far, if we just take a breather, they're amazing. You are so tactical. You're awesome. Let's just take a moment to remind people why we're doing this. Parents, educators, if you're listening to this, one, we need to reach more people. Please go give me a like, a comment, something on iTunes, on our blog. Go review one of our books. We're trying to reach 550 million people in the next few years. That's all of North America with a digital safety message that teaches kids the positive way to shine online. Also, if your school, if your community is looking for something instead of a public speaker, we have the very best at-home video curriculum that we call Parent University, and we make it super, super affordable for a whole district to have at-home videos on anti-bullying, on digital safety, on college prep tutorials, how to use your Instagram to get into college, how to use your link, set up LinkedIn as a teenager, all these things. Please go take a look at smartsocial.com. This is a quick little tiny advertisement on how to protect your whole community for about $1 per family per year. It's unbelievable. And our dream is to make sure that everybody in your community has an at-home course rather than just relying on the school, because it's not enough. So you can go to smartsocial.com and learn more about Parent University there. But our dream is that your student is well-equipped and has a vocabulary for keeping themselves safe, because at a young age, they do not know that. At a young age, when they see something inappropriate, they will get quiet. They will not know what to do. We do not want them going to their 11, 12, or 13-year-old best friend that has zero wisdom. They think they have a ton of wisdom, but they don't. We want them coming to you. We want them going to their teacher. We want them coming to a trusted adult, and that's the dream of Parent University at smartsocial.com. All right, so we've talked about a few of the tips. We just talked about dinner table. David, what's the next tip? What should we keep from students during their homework?
The phones and any devices away from their homework area, whether it's, you know, they do their homework in their bedroom, they do their homework at the kitchen table, or if they have another location that they do their homework, their phones shouldn't be have access to their phones, because they're going to be wondering what their friends are doing. You know, they're stuck studying and their friends are getting ice cream or hanging out together or doing something, and I'm sure they're posting on social media. So they're going to pull out their phone and look at, see what's being posted by their friends. And that's a total distraction from what they're supposed to be doing, is learning, you know, doing their homework, studying for their math quiz, whatever they're supposed to do. It's going to be almost pointless, because they're going to constantly be thinking about what's going on social media, what their friends are going to be doing. And that's one of the things, just keep the phones away during that 1 hour, 2 hour time frame.
You know, this is shooting from the hip. I love this tip. And I think, one, it can't be next to them, like you're saying. It needs to be in the other room. Because we as adults, I'll be the first to say, I think I have a phone addiction. I pick it up. I pick it up and I have motor memory. We're bored, we look at it. Students, same way, probably times two. But if it's in the other room, we're probably getting a lot more done, because we can't just pick it up. We're focusing on something. I just came up with a crazy idea, because I'm all about coming up with ideas that help families. There's a driver mode where if you text somebody, it says, hey, I'm currently driving. I won't be alerted. I'll be alerted of your text when I park. If it's urgent, type back urgent, and I will be alerted while I'm driving, but I look forward to getting back to you later. I think that is the neatest feature. I wish they had a homework version of it. Hey, I'm doing my homework right now. I'll be alerted when I'm done with my homework. Just want to let you know, I'll get back to you.
They're copyright there or something.
Right, isn't that a neat idea? Basically, I want to, you know what? I think, and the person that's transcribing this, I think that we should create like just a video that says, here's how to hack driver mode and turn it into homework mode. As soon as homework mode turns on, here's how kids can click in driver mode, put it in the other room, and all of a sudden it pretends like you're driving, but really it says, I'm doing my homework right now, so I won't see this until I. It'd be amazing, right? Anyways, that's just my little tiny hack, but I agree with you. Put them in the other room. Okay. Now, next. So no phones during homework because they're going to have FOMO. Next is talk to us about what we should do to our social media profiles.
I think you need to make sure they're all private. Make sure it's private. And I wouldn't even put if I was a kid and my parents were allowing me to have a social media account, one of the stipulations I probably would, my parents would probably put on me is that I couldn't use my face as the actual profile as well.
Okay. So let's talk about that for a sec. Let's dive into this. This is kind of tip number six. You know, a lot of parents are thinking right now, David, and I want to get your feedback here, but I want to kind of dive into this one. A lot of parents are thinking, all right, my 11-year-olds want Snapchat so bad. They want it. They're trying to tell me. What would you tell? And I have a tip too. What would you tell a parent of an 11-year-old?
I would actually say that an 11-year-old doesn't need Snapchat. I would start with something, a different application than Snapchat. But I would probably would, if it was a persistent thing, that maybe I would be have the same ownership as the child as well. So I can see everything being posted. But I personally don't like Snapchat as much for kids.
That's a great tip. And parents, if you're listening to this, a lot of the experts, I would agree. If your kid is dying for a phone, I've got a hybrid that I want to throw out there as just a crazy idea. I interviewed 8 students here in Long Beach, California. A principal said, I have a really great relationship with a local high school. We have relationships with a lot of schools, but this local high school, the principal said, we'd love to be on your podcast. So 8 students and I came up with this idea. If your kid, let's say you're a significant other and you are divorced or something, you're like, well, they need a phone because of this and I want to be able to track them. Great. But at a young age or up until 14, give them a flip phone, a dumb phone, one where they can text and you can call them. If it's important to their safety that they have a phone, give them a dumb phone. They'll feel connected. They'll be able to text. Maybe it's got the old ghetto way of you have to hit the key 3 times to get that letter in there. They get a little bit of it. It's for their safety. But please consider this, parents. You're going to think I'm crazy, but David, I want your honest feedback. If you think I'm crazy, you tell me. But there's a movement that I 100% support. Let kids be kids until they're 14. And what I mean by that is don't give them a smartphone until they're 14. Let them have a dumb phone if they need it, but don't let them allow them to have the addiction of that smart device. Give them a flip phone if you need it, but don't give them a smart device until they're 14 years old. And it's called Let Teens Be Teens a little bit longer. Keep them away from that. David, what do you think about that?
I totally agree. They really just need to call their friends, call their parents. You know, they can still text their friends back and forth, text their parents, hey, I'm okay, I'm safe, I'm at my friend's house, we're going uptown to McDonald's. Something like that, but they don't need really a smartphone, not until at least 14.
Yeah, and so that kind of hits on what we are talking about right now on social media profiles, keeping them private. And those of you parents that are listening right now in Parent University, we talk a lot about making sure your kids before they're 13 and up into 13 that they can't be searched online. We don't want other people using Google or any other technology to be able to know where your kids are at, what they're doing, who their friends are. And all there are people out there that do not love your kids as much as you do. And a big part of what David and I believe in is safety, protecting the younger generation because they do not have that vocabulary to understand how to protect themselves. They haven't seen as much as you have. So, we do only at the age of 14 and 15, once you've had the family discussion of when you're ready for something to go public, do you have that discussion of what kind of volunteer program are we going to set up and take a group photo when parents are ready and all those different things when parents are ready. But definitely have that talk with your kids. Go Google your kids. In Parent University, we teach you how to Google your kids the five different ways and all that different stuff to audit your kids. All right. So we talked about, David, you suggested people have private social media profiles. Super awesome mm-hmm. and great. Let's talk about tip number seven. I love this. What should we create before kids get a device?
You should really create a must-do before allowing even to be on a device. And suggestions are like, you know, do your chores, do your homework, go outside and play for 30 minutes, play a game, do something that's not in front of a screen or any type of device. And I might tie in another point here is that maybe even limiting your have a limit time on their devices as well.
And so almost like a social media contract, but I love this tactical way, just calling it a must-dos. Here's all the things you've got to do before you get your device every night or whatever.
Yeah, it's and it can be during the summer. It can be add a lot more things to it with like making the bed, and you could add more things during the summer. A little bit less, obviously, maybe during the school year, but on non-school days, you have a longer list.
Yeah, that's a great tip. We've got a friend that owns an app called Unglue, and I don't get paid to talk about them. I don't own them, but Unglue, U-N-G-L-U-E, motivates kids to go out and mow the lawn to unlock another 30 minutes of screen time. It's kind of cool. It's less about safety, more about motivation. Really like it. It's kind of neat, and they're getting some decent feedback. Take a look at that, parents, if you are looking for some kind of motivation to get your kids off the device. Okay, so creating a list of must-dos, that's tip number seven. Tip number eight, talk to us about an incident that happened with a seventh grader on your swim team and mm-hmm. how there were no expectations of something and what the student was doing with kids at the other school and what the kind of what the mom did and what your suggestion was.
Well, I was working with one of a swimmer of mine that is going to be in seventh grade, and her mom was asking me about my opinion. And she, her daughter was actually has only one social media account, which was Instagram, but she was adding friends that were friends of friends at the other middle school. And she didn't even know who these guys were or girls were. But since her one friend that she goes to school with is friends with them, she thought it was okay to be friends with them. And yep. then she was also adding friends that adding people to her account that were in high school that she didn't even know who they were.
Yep.
So, of course, when mom found out, she was actually kind of startled that she's adding all these people and the dangers, and she asked me to speak with her, the daughter, about the dangers and how actually serious this is. And it is a really serious problem because there's so many people that just keep on adding people to their account because the more friends you have, the more popular you are.
Yeah, it's a numbers game, quantity instead of quality for kids, right?
Right, exactly. And she had, without even understanding it, she I think got a lot of friends added, but she didn't know who they were and what they were posting maybe isn't going to be what is really she should be seeing or appropriate for her age even. And so the parent wanted to take away the social media altogether, and I suggested that okay, let's take a step back, go through the account, look at every person, and if she doesn't know, you delete them. If you don't have face to face conversations with yep. these people, you shouldn't yep. be friends with them.
Yep.
And now then set the rule and say, listen, now if you start adding people again, and doing this again, we're going to actually take the phone away, or we're going to actually delete that account, and you're not going to be able to use social media accounts.
Yeah, this is a chance to strengthen that dialogue between mom and child. Let me defend the child for a sec. Everybody that's listening to this right now, no matter what country you're in, 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago, I had a talk with Kenya. Same issues with same type of student. You know, human beings are human beings. And in Kenya, they have the same problems as in Medina, Ohio, and Los Angeles, where I'm at. Let me defend the child for a sec. If this kid doesn't know what's good and bad online, then how are they going to know? Oh, but Josh, it's common sense, everybody says. I would argue that there is no more common sense. Here's why. Kardashians are out there setting the standard, and people on Instagram and all this different stuff. And with all the news that we have and all the reality TV, I don't think there is common sense anymore unless a parent sets the standard for common sense and says, look, we have the chance for this to happen or this. What's going to benefit the other people? What's going to be the nicest thing to do? What's going to be this? If you don't talk with your kids and teach them common sense, they will not have it. I do not believe that common sense exists anymore until you as the parent implement that into your child. So for this mom, she was such a good mom for caring for her child and being frustrated, and that's great. But if you don't set those expectations of, hey, is a friend really somebody that we've never met before? Could those people be other people? Could one of them be a creepy person that's pretending to be in that high school? They're a lot older than you, right? So if we don't set that common sense with children, do they really have it? And that's kind of our, anyways, that's me on a little bit of a list. Okay, so David, you talked about friending friends of friends. I love that. Tip number 8. Now, you've got some parent tips, some tips just for parents. Tip 9, talk to us about some of these parent tips. What can parents do to be the best parents they can in a digital world?
I think the first one, and you already talked to just now, is talking with your kids constantly about social media, the things that could go wrong, things that that just possibly could go wrong, and how to handle the situations if they arise, if the kids actually see on social media, how to handle it. And I think that's one of the things, that continuous conversation and trust. And it can be a 3-minute conversation. It could be a 5-minute conversation. It could be a conversation you're having as you're going to school or going to church or somewhere else, that can be just a short conversation about it.
Yeah, and that's so great. That dialogue is really, would you agree that, now let me ask you a question. Do you think there's any safety app that's going to help kids? Or do you think it's a parent's job? What's in your opinion, your experience, David, what do you think is best?
Everything falls back to the parents. Every single thing goes back to the parents, and with their support and with their emphasis on things, they set the foundation.
Yep.
For this child, whether it's educationally, religiously, with friends, with whoever, they set it, and there's other people that help build that foundation with you, with the parents.
Now, would you say,
it comes down to the parents.
Yes, I love that. Couldn't agree with you more. Some parents think that digital safety needs to be 100% taught at school. Would you agree or disagree with that?
No. The schools definitely need to talk about it, and schools need to talk about it often. I talk about it every class I have in both 6th grade and 8th grade. I talk about how it changes, because I even have kids that kind of, you see them like slump, like, oh, we're going to talk about social media. Then we do this in 6th grade. But it changes even within the 2-year span.
Yep.
There's so much more they know, they understand, they learn, and apps are appearing all the time.
Yep.
And the dangers to it. And so the kids, by the end of the unit, they understand that it's very important to continuously learn about social media, talk about those safeties. However, I have them for 9 weeks. I talk about for about 2 weeks out of the 9 weeks. I talk about the social media, but then they're loose. They're in another classroom. Their parents see them every day, all day.
You've hit it on the head. Basically, parents, it starts with you. In fact, kids spend more time with you than they do in school. A lot of parents will say, yeah, but they're going to learn that at school and all this stuff. The only person that's going to wake up at 4 a.m. to go wonder, where is my child? They're not in their bedroom. It will not be a safety app. It will not be Uber to get them home on time. It's going to be you. Your school loves them. Your teachers, your counselors, your principal, the dean, they are there to protect children. But they're only under the supervision of the school for a limited amount of hours. And guess what? There's thousands of other kids. You have between 1 and 4 kids, usually. And you are going to be able to protect those children unlike anything else in the world. All right, let's talk about the next tip. What should parents do on the apps to keep updated?
I think one of the biggest things is to educate themselves on the apps, whether it's getting online and finding classes or finding articles. But for them to be educated, what's in, what's not, what's the pros, what's the cons, why is this app that I should be worried about my child, or why is my child using that app, I think is very important. I know some of my family members, they all started using Snapchat and they didn't know why they were actually using that app, but they thought it was just fun. And I said, well, there's some pros and there's some cons to this app, and they were not educated themselves in it. So of course I sent them a couple articles and a couple of things about the application and that to educate them. But that's very important to know the applications.
Yeah, two things. One, parents, you should not allow your kids to be on any app that you're not on. Oh, but it's okay, it's only Snapchat. I have a feeling I'll get an alert if something goes wrong. That doesn't happen. It's always too late. Second, we have been told by organizations, law enforcement, and everything else that we have the most robust app guide page. It's called the Popular App Guide page. It shows you the green zone, the gray zone, the red zone. If at any time your kids have an app that you don't understand, go to that guide. It has 55 of the most popular apps outlined as to what our recommendations are on how to use them, whether your kids should delete them, and replacement apps. It's at smartsocial.com. It's been shared 9,000 times. Okay, next tip. Talk to us about some ground rules.
Yeah, set the ground rules and apply sanctions. If they misuse an application, they are on their phone past a certain time, if they are on their devices past, you know, you say 30 minutes every night or an hour every night, if they're past that, there has to be rules and sanctions for breaking those. There has to be punishment for actually breaking a rule that was told to them when they got the phone. Hey, these are our expectations. These are our rules. If you break them, this is going to happen. If you do it again, this will be happening. And then third time, your phone will be taken away or something to that effect.
I love it. Okay, that's great. So ground rules. And then let's talk about what's your next tip for parents?
One of the things is to friend. One requirement is the parent has to friend the child as part of their site. So if it's Facebook, you become a friend of them on Facebook. And then, but you don't want to make sure, you want to make sure you don't stalk them. You don't want to make, every time they make a comment to one of their friends, you make a comment, say, hey, I saw you made a comment to about such and such on Facebook. You don't want to feel like you're stalking them. The kid doesn't want you hovering over them, or at least feeling having that presence of hovering over.
Yeah. So parents, be on Instagram, be on Snapchat, but do not comment on posts that your kids like. The thing that your kid is secretly telling you. Now, unless you have a very unique relationship with your child, which 1 in 100 parents does, consider not commenting. Rather, you know what's going on in your kid's life because your friend, it's okay to be a little passive and just know what's going on. So consider not saying, hey, I saw that you took a picture of this thing today. Great. Hey, so how was your day today? You know that they took a picture of the science project and posted it online or did this, this, and this. Do you really need to poke into their life? And a lot of parents think that that's okay, and that's fine. But kids are really asking, hey, I'm okay with it. Follow me, but I also want a little bit of freedom. All right, talk to us about the next tip.
All right, I got two more big ones. One of them is explore, share, and celebrate with your kids. You want to explore and maybe you discover something, or maybe you want them to show you how to do something on the actual application. How do I share a picture? How do I tag my friend in this picture? If you help them, if you allow them to show you some things and explore the app together, sometimes that creates some trust as well.
That's awesome. Explore, share, and celebrate. Love that. Okay, talk to us about the next one.
Okay, and then the last one is being a good digital role model. The kids are watching you, even if they don't think they are, they're watching you, whether you're texting in the grocery store or at the dinner table or when you're having family time. Or even if they're trying to tell you a story or a problem and you pick up the phone and you look at the phone just by, you know, natural habits, you want to make sure you are saying a good being a good digital role model. Curb your own bad digital habits. Know when to unplug. Know when to pull away the phone. I have a couple of friends that actually pull away their phone for one day out of the whole week. They just set it aside. They don't look at it. I can't understand how, but they do. They do put it on the countertops and up on top of the fridge and don't look at it all day. And then show your kids how to collaborate and create online. I give examples, maybe even explain a post that you just posted, or, you know, since you are friends on Facebook, if you know, or a social media app, that you set that example of posting something that's good. You're not posting something that is negative towards someone, being disgruntled about something, sending out your frustrations onto a social media application, because kids are going to see that and they're going to mimic that as well.
Yeah. And parents, another thing that we tell, David, this is amazing. Another thing is it's okay to vent. We tell a lot of parents, tell your kids they can vent to you. They can vent to their best friend. They can text somebody. That's fine. But as soon as it goes public, you're venting to a lot of people and it makes you feel like you feel better. But everybody's seeing that and it removes the opportunities your kids could have to move up the ladder, get that dream college, get that dream internship that leads to other things. Employers and colleges are seeing, is someone going to be a positive role model on our campus or a less than positive? They have more and more people applying every day, and it's easier and easier for them to weed through and just find the most positive. David, this is amazing. You've given us over a dozen tips, and I'm so thankful for you and for all that you do to protect kids.
Thank you.
So, David, what's the one key takeaway? I'm going to give you last word on this. What's one more key takeaway that parents come to you or frustration that they have that you might give to people?
One that I haven't touched on that I think kids and even adults see so much of is they see on the social media sites, they see all these happy moments.
Yeah.
And they think everyone's moments are always this happy. And I try to explain it as, you know, you see a family picture of them, your family smiling and being so happy and everything. But what you didn't see was the 20 minutes before, all the crying, and kids, babies are crying, and people are upset, and you don't see that part, and you don't see the after the snapshot was taken. You don't see that part at all. And there's no one happy family throughout this United States that, you know, they're always, everything's happy-go-lucky and, you know, roses as well. So I think that's one of the things with kids. They see that their friends are always having fun. Why can't I have that? Why can't I have that fun? Why they're getting an Xbox? Why can't I get an Xbox? It just doesn't work out that way.
Yeah, and that's really also considered, tell me what you think of this, that's considered comparison, which is so easy to do. That person has a great day every day, but really they're showing you the best side of their best self with their resume of positivity online. We're comparing ourselves to them.
Correct.
All right. This is amazing. And you've given us so much. Everybody listening to this right now, I want to invite you to learn more at smartsocial.com. Give us a rating on this podcast. If you're on iTunes right now or anywhere else listening to this, we want to share our message, like David's message, and all these tactical tips you can use to be safer. We want to share this with the whole world. Go give us a rating. Tell us what you thought of this. It means the world if we can spread this to other people. Go visit smartsocial.com to learn more about joining our newsletter, becoming a part of that. We have something, educators for, it's called Parent University. It has dozens and dozens of courses, little micro courses that parents can take. At the current time of this audio recording, that's $9 for the Snapchat course that teaches parents most everything they need to know about Snapchat for $9. And for the $100 for the whole year, they have all of our courses for a whole 12 months. Makes it super affordable. But for if you want that for your school, we can drop the price drastically and protect your whole community at home. At a place where parents can show these videos to their kids so kids get videos and common sense at home so that in addition to at school, you are making sure that you're not the bad parent at home, but rather Josh's team are the people that telling your kids what to do and what not to do by showing them examples, and you can be the cheerleader. Hey, I don't know what you just did. I thought, Josh, we watched that video together and they said that might not get you in your dream school. It's called Parent University. It's at smartsocial.com. Educators all over the country are using it to protect with one master subscription. You can unlock it for your whole community. I'm thankful to all of you, and especially to David Kaufman today, for sharing digital safety tips you can use to shine online. Remember, parents, your kids are watching, so remember to keep it light, bright, and polite. We'll see you on the next episode. As always, have a great day, and we'll talk to you soon. Take care.